All right, so today we're going deep into Jeremiah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Jeremiah chapters 11 through 20.
Okay. Okay.
They're often called Jeremiah's Confessions, and we've got this lecture by Dr. Gary Yates, and wow, it's powerful stuff.
Intense.
Yeah, really intense. So get ready, because we're going to be exploring, you know, what it means to have faith when things get really, really tough.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about Jeremiah is he lived during this crazy time, like crazy upheaval, politically, socially, everything.
Right, right.
Tiny little kingdom of Judah, yeah. Stuck between these huge empires, Egypt and Babylon, you know.
Oh, yeah. Talk about a rock and a hard place.
Exactly. And then, like, to make things even worse.
It gets worse.
Judah's leaders.
Yeah.
They're making terrible decisions.
Yeah.
Like, turning away from God, leading everyone down this path of destruction.
Oh, man. And then that's where Jeremiah comes in.
Yeah, Jeremiah, our main guy in this whole
He's the prophet, right. So God's spokesperson. And he's got to deliver these tough messages. And the people, they don't want to hear it.
Can you imagine being that guy? All the bad news.
Yes.
All the time.
I know.
Doom and gloom.
Mm.
Exile. Destruction. Like, constantly.
No wonder he's known for all that weeping and lamenting.
Right.
Seriously. It's like, okay, it's like being the designated driver.
Okay.
But at a party where everyone is just determined to, you know, drive off a cliff.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
So you can see why this role just, it just wears him down.
Takes its toll.
Totally. And Dr. Yates, he compares Jeremiah to Moses and Elijah, you know.
Right.
Other prophets who faced rejection, threats, even death.
All for speaking the truth.
Yeah.
And it's not just all that, you know, external pressure.
Right.
Internally, Jeremiah, he's struggling with his own doubts, his fears,
mm-hmm.
questioning God's plan. He even accuses God of being a deceitful brook.
Wow.
Yeah.
Powerful image.
Powerful image of feeling let down by someone you really trusted.
Yeah. Yeah. That one really got me. It's like when you put your hope in something, a relationship, a job, even your own dreams, and then poof, it just dries up and you're left with nothing.
Betrayal.
It makes me wonder, have you ever felt that way?
Mm.
Like God wasn't who you thought he was.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty universal feeling.
Yeah.
Disappointment, anger with God. And Jeremiah, he shows us it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay to bring those feelings to God, the raw emotions.
Mm.
He doesn't shy away from the tough questions. In fact, he throws them right back.
Like in chapter 12.
Yeah, chapter 12.
Where he complains about how the wicked seem to be doing just fine.
Prosperous.
While the righteous suffer. He even, like, challenges God, saying, why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive?
Bold. Pretty bold.
It is.
But it also shows us something important.
Yeah.
About faith.
Okay. What's that?
It's not just about, you know, blind obedience.
Right.
Or pretending everything's okay.
Yeah.
It's about wrestling.
Hmm.
Wrestling with the tough questions.
Oh.
Being honest with God about our struggles.
Wow.
Our doubts.
So that's where these confessions, they become so powerful.
Absolutely.
They're not just like Jeremiah's personal diary entries.
Yeah.
They're a model for us.
A blueprint.
Yeah, for how we can approach God when things are tough.
When we're hurting.
They give us permission to be real, to lament, to question, to even argue with God.
And what's incredible, God doesn't shut him down.
No.
He listens. He responds. He even rebukes sometimes.
Wow.
But he never, ever abandons Jeremiah.
That's a powerful message for all of us.
Don't you think?
Absolutely. It's like that saying, the best conversations happen at the kitchen table.
Yeah, I like that.
It's like God is inviting Jeremiah to sit down with him.
Mm.
To hash things out, be totally honest, even if it gets a little messy.
Yeah, yeah.
And in that honesty, in that, you know, that vulnerability,
mm-hmm.
their relationship, it actually gets stronger. It deepens.
That's right. And Dr. Yates, he points out something interesting about Jeremiah's role as a mediator.
Oh, right.
He's not just a messenger. He's caught in the middle of this broken relationship.
Yeah.
Between God and the people.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
It's like he's trying to hold both sides together, even as they're pulling apart.
Oh, man. That's a lot of pressure.
It is.
No wonder he's just pouring his heart out in these confessions.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, it's not just about him either.
What do you mean?
Jeremiah. It's not just his own suffering.
Oh, right.
He's really troubled by the people's pain.
Yeah, the people he's called to serve.
Even those who've turned away from God, he still feels for them.
Wow. So it's like he's carrying the weight of everyone.
The whole nation.
The guilt, the grief, everything.
You can really hear it in chapter 14.
Oh, yeah.
when he cries out, my grief is beyond healing. My heart is faint within me.
Yeah, it's like, he's not just sad, he's heartbroken.
It's a collective heartbreak.
Yeah, not just his own pain.
Exactly. Dr. Yates, he calls Jeremiah a wounded healer.
A wounded healer.
Yeah, wounded by their sin, by their rebellion, but still called to heal, to offer hope.
That's a powerful image. It makes me think of people today, you know, like social workers, first responders, people advocating for justice. They see so much pain, so much suffering.
Yeah, constantly exposed to it.
But they keep showing up, trying to make things better.
It takes a lot out of you, emotionally, spiritually.
I bet. It's like they're absorbing the world's pain, trying to turn it into something good.
Something that can bring change. And that's what Jeremiah is doing, too.
Yeah, taking all that anguish, all that frustration.
Pouring it out to God.
Not just for himself, for everyone.
For the nation.
He's speaking for the people who can't speak for themselves.
Yeah, the ones who are just too overwhelmed to even articulate their pain.
And he's showing them, like, how to process it all.
Yeah. And it's not just the emotional pain.
Right.
Jeremiah is also watching as everything falls apart.
Ugh.
Physically.
Oh, you mean like with the Babylonian invasion?
The destruction of Jerusalem, the war, the violence. It's all there in the book.
Vivid descriptions.
Oh, incredibly vivid.
Yeah.
Dr. Yates even points out this one image of a mother in labor.
Whoa.
Yeah. To describe Jerusalem being destroyed.
That's intense.
It really gets across the brutality of it all, the violence of it.
And Jeremiah knows it's all happening. He's been warning everyone for years.
They wouldn't listen.
So he has to watch his worst fears come true.
Everything he loves torn apart.
Man, that's got to be the hardest part of being a prophet.
You think?
Seeing your prophecies fulfilled, especially when it means your own people are going to suffer.
I know. It's like a doctor who diagnoses a terminal illness, but can't do anything to stop it.
It's helpless.
But even with all that devastation, Jeremiah, he still holds on.
Holds on to what?
Hope. He believes God is merciful.
Yeah.
Compassionate, even when he's judging.
Okay. But it's not blind faith, right?
No. He's not pretending everything will be fine.
He's wrestling, questioning, even accusing God of being unfair.
Exactly. And that's what makes his faith so real. So relatable.
Yeah, he's not some perfect saint.
He's a real person trying to understand this painful, chaotic world.
He's doubting, questioning, but he keeps coming back to God.
Pouring his heart out, searching for meaning, for hope.
It's interesting, though, how even with all this destruction, Jeremiah, he never loses sight of, like, God's bigger picture.
That's true. He really doesn't.
He knows judgment. That's not the end. There's always, like, restoration, hope.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what makes Jeremiah different from some other prophets. He's not just about doom.
Right.
He's about hope, too. He's weeping over Jerusalem, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's also looking ahead to when God will bring his people back.
Bring them back from exile.
From exile. Heal them. Restore them.
So it's like Jeremiah's confessions, they become almost like a guide.
A blueprint.
Yeah, for the exile.
When they're taken to Babylon.
Yeah.
Stripped of everything.
They have Jeremiah's words.
They know they're not alone.
Mm.
Someone else has felt this way.
Someone else has gone through it.
And still held on to hope.
Dr. Yates, he connects these confessions to those Psalms of Lament.
Oh, yeah. The ones that come out of the exile experience.
It's like Jeremiah, he starts it all, those raw cries to God.
Exactly. It's this whole tradition of honest prayer.
Real prayer. Mm. Acknowledging the brokenness, the suffering.
Like in Psalm 137. You know that one?
The one by the rivers of Babylon.
Yeah. Weeping by the rivers of Babylon.
Man.
Longing for home.
Such a sad image, but powerful too.
It's deep sorrow, grief, but there's also this longing for justice.
Yeah, even revenge.
Right. And that's what's so amazing about these songs. They don't hold back.
The raw emotions, anger, bitterness, even despair.
All brought to God.
No filter. Like, God, we're hurting. We're confused. We don't understand.
But you're the only one who gets it.
Right. And I think that's Jeremiah's legacy.
Honesty.
He shows us it's okay to be honest with God, even when we're angry, confused, heartbroken.
Those raw emotions,
yeah.
They can actually be the start of a deeper relationship with God.
So if you're going through something tough, feeling lost, abandoned, overwhelmed, remember Jeremiah.
It's okay to pour your heart out to God. Ask the tough questions.
Even be angry.
God can handle it. He's not afraid of our mess, our brokenness.
Our doubts.
That's where we experience grace, compassion most powerfully.
And just like God promised to restore his people
from exile,
he promises to be with us in our own exiles.
In our times of loss, grief, uncertainty.
Jeremiah's confessions, they remind us, even in the darkest times,
God is faithful.
His love never fails.
And his promise of redemption,
it will be fulfilled.
I will.
Well, this has been a really, really powerful deep dive into Jeremiah's confessions. What stood out to you? What encourages you from Jeremiah's experience, especially when you're going through tough times? We'd love to hear your thoughts. Until next time, keep diving deep.